What's up, guys? Welcome to Made of Miller, the podcast where four sisters get together and talk about all things family, relationships, and everything in between. We're your hosts,
Sarah,
Katie,
Leah,
and Leslie,
and we're Made of Miller.
What's up, guys? We hope you had a good week. We missed you, and we're happy to welcome our mother, Sharon. Mom, say hi.
Hello. I'm so glad to be here.
And we are happy to have you here, Mom. We wanted you to join us this week in the spirit of Mother's Day, which was technically last week by the time you guys will hear this episode. But we thought what a wonderful way to honor our mom is to have her join us on the Made of Miller podcast, because she is the one that made us.
She made the
of Miller. Yeah, you pro. Well, never mind. Okay, all right. We don't need to explain procreation. We're all adults here.
Oh, thank God.
Procreation. The matriarch of the sisterhood is not with us this week, so Sarah is working really hard on her home in Kansas City. So we miss her. Hi, Sarah. But we love you.
Yeah, that's a bummer. But a woman's got to work.
I would say hopefully you can fill in her shoes, but Sarah's got bigger feet than you, so you can't.
That's right.
But Sarah, okay, but Sarah's feet aren't like that much bigger. Like they're
no, like, she's probably like a 7.5. Mom's a 6.5.
I think Sarah's a 7.
Yeah, I can wear.
Okay. I wish that she was a 7 because I can't fit in her shoes.
I have the biggest feet shoes.
Wow, Mom's has the biggest feet of all.
Yeah, I have 8.5.
Average. Like yeah. That's the average foot size.
Really?
And on that note, we're going to be talking about feet for this week's podcast.
Oh my gosh.
We might get a new audience. About my feet.
Speaking of feet, I think you're all putting your foot in your mouth.
Oh. Here we go.
I know. And Mom is here.
Somehow that first of all, that was definitely a dad joke for a mom. Although no one ever talks about mom jokes. So I wonder, like, maybe it's a good thing that we don't have a stereotype. Like that was a mom joke, but there are, I guess, stereotypes about, I don't know. You know what? There aren't stereotypes about what moms say because we don't say a lot. We do a lot.
Yeah.
Oh, that's right. Tough chicks unite. No, just kidding. Yeah.
We don't just smack talk. We do.
Exactly.
Leslie liked that one.
All right. Wow. Well, if you guys endured our cheesy little puns and banter, we'd like to introduce this week's podcast topic. Today, we are going to be discussing church culture. Now, okay, before we get into this, I had to look up the definition of culture, not because I feels like the idea of culture is kind of ambiguous. And you know what? When I looked up the definition, I would just say that it's kind of ambiguous. It's like, it's almost like some things are defined without having to define it. But this is the definition, according to WebMD.
So that you know it's reliable. This came from doctors.
Medical doctor. Okay, WebMD, Merriam-Webster, Merriam.
Wikipedia, maybe?
Wow. All right. Obviously, we have made ourselves experts like Dr. Hughes. No, I'm just kidding. Sorry, that was a little Easter egg for anybody following the Johnny Depp trial. So the definition of culture, yes, the arts and other manifestations of human intellectual achievement regarded collectively. Wow, that's a lot of jargon.
Read it again.
The arts and other manifestations of human intellectual achievement regarded collectively. Oh, that's just so much jargon.
Well, it's just putting what we all know in simpler terms, where I think it's basically saying the church is the people, right?
Maybe. I'm sorry, what? You're saying that definition was putting...
Does anyone get that?
It's about, it's just a group of people that are joined together like by that. What they believe.
Yeah.
Yeah. And then they created a culture around them based off
yeah.
what they believe. Wow. That's actually kind of interesting because like you think about if you zero this in on your own life and family, you're like, what kind of culture? I created a culture of weird in my house.
Yeah. And but okay. But like, this is just, maybe this is going too far, but culture, I never really thought about this, but cult is in the word culture.
Yes.
And I'm not trying to be like, you know, but I just never thought about that before. It seems like a no-brainer, but I'm like,
oh my goodness.
Mom,
yeah,
mom,
you're right.
Can you speak to that, mom?
Like, oh, no, what now that? Everyone's going to be like, churches are cults?
No. But I think, but it's just, it's interesting to differentiate the difference between healthy culture and cult and why they're similar and why they're not. Does that make sense?
Okay, well, here's a simple definition. Culture is a longer word. Cult is just stunted culture.
Wow.
Philosophical.
Yeah, that, yeah. I meant to say wow, but instead I said yow.
Yowza.
It's dysfunctional culture.
Okay.
Dysfunctional religious culture. But I want to say something, though, about our topic, because church culture is a very, very broad topic.
So broad.
Because you're not just talking about, you could be talking about Catholicism. You could be talking about, synagogues. You could be talking about mosques. You could be talking about, Protestant churches, yeah. and there's various Protestant denominations, and then there's a million other world religions that you could be talking about. So are we talking about church culture as we know it as a family?
Probably.
Yeah, that's like a really good point. Yeah, it's funny that you should bring that up, because I think that sometimes can be reflective of church culture is not... not to say, how do I put this? When you're in a small bubble, you kind of think within that bubble, if that makes sense.
Right.
I don't mean that in a negative way. It's just how, like, it's like when I, we're out here in Hawaii and we're with a missions movement that has, students from all over the world. And one of the complaints that we've had in just group discussions, and this is coming from Europeans, is saying Americans tend to think of themselves as the center of the universe. Mm. And like, even the Bible is like the Bible's about America. Like, it's as if the Bible was written not from an Eastern worldview and from a Jewish perspective. And so it's just funny that, like, I don't know.
Yeah.
That was, I didn't even think to be like, oh yeah, like this is a bigger topic. And so I think it's easy to get those like blinders on. But yeah, to answer your question in the shortest way, we're talking about our experience in within our bubble of church culture, which means, what would that mean exactly, Mom?
Well, I think it might be perhaps more interesting to talk about, how do I say this? It might be more interesting to talk about not so much the belief system, but the rhythms, the things that we did, the expectations and how we either met them or failed to meet them. There's lots of humorous stories. Like for instance, your grandfather, my dad, was a pastor. He was a Baptist minister. So I grew up going to church a lot, and the rules were fairly strict. Although I would say that my dad was more moderate and and just very loving and forgiving of things. So it wasn't like we weren't beat over the head with the Bible per se, but when you got to church, there was an expectation that you were quiet, you sat still, you sang the hymns, followed the guidelines of the service right to the letter of the law. Mm-hmm. So you weren't disruptive in any way. And then you'd finish at a certain time and come out of there. And I can tell you that I did not follow those very well.
Yeah.
And then I raised you guys going to church, but it was a little bit different because it was more in what we know is a non-denominational setting. Maybe some people would call it charismatic or whatever, but more like the modern, non-denominational, I guess is the best way to say it, church. So it's a little bit freer in the sense that people stand and sit at will, as opposed to in the Baptist church, you stood for hymns, you sat when people were speaking. And sometimes you even sat for hymns. There was kind of like unspoken rules about how you behaved. And in a non-denominational setting, the rules are really muddy. You know, it's hard to bring kids into that setting because kids need clear guidelines. And if there aren't any, you know, 1 minute they're in trouble because they're not doing something. And the next minute they're allowed to do the very thing that you just told them not to do.
I remember we were always really fairly well behaved at church.
Actually, and Katie and I getting into a fist fight.
Yes, they did.
And the church janitor had to break us up.
I was going to say, I remember this one time I was in church and I was sitting right in the second row, like really close to the front. The church was packed and they were having revival meetings and they were singing really loud music. And there's no way that I could have heard any kid crying in the back of the church out in the foyer or foyer, however you say it, in a bathroom off the entryway crying. But I could hear Leah crying because the bathroom stall was stuck. Oh. And I literally heard her crying over all that music. And then when I got back there, sure enough, she was in the bathroom stuck in there.
Man. Mom, I think you underestimate how loud I could cry.
No, I'm kidding. Yeah, nobody else could hear you though. I think it was my mother's instinct.
Absolutely. Yeah.
Yeah, absolutely.
Because it would have been impossible.
Isn't that crazy?
Yeah. So anyway, that happened at church. I don't know if it's church culture, but it happened there.
When Benjamin and I first started going to the Rock Church, what really like got us like into it was just when you walked in the door, like, and this isn't for everybody, but it was for us, that it was like just so welcoming because they had like so many people there that were like ready to serve you and you only. Like, it was like you had a whole team of people that were greeting you at the door. They wanted to make sure you had a coffee in your hand. And they wanted to give you a connect card, and it was just really streamlined. And it just made you feel like it was really inclusive, like right from the get go. You never felt like you were an outsider or a stranger. Immediately, we felt like family, like it was just almost instantaneous. So I really enjoy that about my church culture. And I think that, like I said, it's not for everyone. Some people just like a more low key kind of thing, but we really
just slip in and not be noticed and not have any.
But we really enjoy he and I are both pretty type A people. So it just felt very good for us. We felt like it was just like, wow, these people really have their stuff together. And then like Pastor Kirk is one of the coolest people. Like, I've gone to so many churches around this area and just nothing was speaking to me. Nobody was really like speaking. And I swear every service that I show up, it's like, I'm hearing exactly what I have to hear in that week. And so, you know, you kind of have to like try on church culture, different church cultures, like a shoe until you can really feel like that's the one. Like, I hate that sometimes people will go to one church and they'll be like, oh, I don't like church. It's like, well, you don't like that building because the church is the people and you didn't like that building. So you just go try another one on and another and another. And then all of a sudden you'll find the one, you know, it's just interesting how that works.
When I first moved to California, which was 3.5 years ago, I was only, I came on a Saturday and the next day was a Sunday. And I had a friend with me who had we'd driven cross country. So I knew she probably wanted to go to church. So I asked Sarah, hey, is there a church that you would recommend? And she goes, yeah, I think you should go to this place called the Wine Press, right? And I literally walked in there on a Sunday night and looked around at a packed church, but it wasn't very big, but it was packed. And instead of sitting in rows and pews or rows of chairs, they were all sitting around tables in groups. And I went over and found a seat with my friend in the back, and everybody was chatting and they were having a great time. And the pastor came over and was talking to me, and it was a woman pastor, and she gave me a hug and welcomed me. And I literally knew I was home.
And okay, I have a question. Okay. Yes. Cause I'm, you know, I'm picturing this in my mind's eye. I'm seeing everybody sitting at their tables, they're chitting and chatting. So this is before, right?
Okay. The service had not begun when everybody was sitting around the tables talking.
I hate this idea already.
Yeah.
I'm not saying that it's a bad idea, but I'm like imagining myself sitting at a round table with the boys, and I'm like, they would be not sitting at the table, they would be on top of the table. Yeah. Or like running to everybody else's tables or crawling under the table. I mean, this sounds like a very like adult friendly environment.
Well, yeah, you're right, because there weren't really any small children, you know, there. But what's interesting is the service was scheduled to start at 6:30 p.m. and people still were talking till 7:15. It was like this, like people came and they understood that for the first 15 minutes, you just casually chatted. And then all of a sudden somebody would start playing music. And that was the cue that we were going to start doing something else.
I'm like picturing a judge like slamming the gavel down, going, order, order.
But what's interesting though, for me, I stopped right there. I didn't even look anywhere else.
Huh.
Yeah. It literally felt like I walked into a family and that I belonged in the family.
That's what it is. I think
that's what Leslie, is. Yeah.
That's the feeling. You just like, you know.
Yeah. I remember one time I was living in Lawrence and I was talking to my neighbor, and he was just describing just his, I think he was talking, I don't know exactly what he was talking about. Like, it was a mixture of like Scientology, aliens, zombies. It was like this, he had created this kind of pretty massive belief system. And like, I was listening to him like talk about how like he saw the world, how he saw where the world was going and all that sort of stuff. And I just remember like wanting to cry. I think I actually did cry, because what he was describing to me just sounded so like sad and empty. And all of a sudden I was like, just like overwhelmed with like gratitude for the church, because I just didn't realize like, even without like, you know, we have a pretty solid family. But when I found like people in the church were, I know like everybody has a different experience, and I'm not even going to get into that, because I almost feel like it's almost like people are tired of hearing about like there's hypocrisy in the church. Like, I think we get it, you know, we get that that's just there, it's everywhere. But one of the things is just that welcoming feeling, because there's so much good and there's so many good people. And the way that even like the Bible's laid out is meant, the goal is family, and that's family for everyone. And I think it's that culture really is embedded in the church, because that's just how it was meant to be. That's how Jesus intended it. So I think that there's something about that that just feels right and safe. And yeah,
I totally agree.
Then there's the shallow perspective on church. And that is this. When I was visiting a church in Kona, I went and I thought, man, this is a beautiful location. It was right on the ocean, you know, and the service was outside. And
you're naughty. I know what you're talking about.
And so, because I was staying on a campus where you took a shuttle to church, the shuttle would drop you off right as the first service was ending. So that meant all the people coming out were picking up their snacks on the way out after church. Because I was just arriving, I too could go to the table and pick up the snacks. And they had really good food.
Wait, so what is the shallow side? Oh,
really good food.
You know, there is a way to word that doesn't sound so shallow. They had such lovely hospitality and I partook of their wonderful hospitality.
That's right. And what did they have? Those little Aussie bites and granola bars and chips.
Kalani cookies.
And coffee. And it was like ridiculously good, right? And then you'd go into the service, and at the end of the service you'd come out and have round two. Oh my word. Have another cup of coffee and
gotta love a church with a coffee bar.
Yeah.
That's one awesome thing that has come with modern day church culture.
Okay. I will tell you guys kind of an embarrassing, it's not actually embarrassing, but at the time it was humiliating because Seth and I, we love church. We always have. And when we were on our honeymoon, we were in California honeymooning and we wanted to go to church. And so we show up and like, it was a new church and we figured it's California, which to me, I guess I was associating with it being a little bit more up and up, glitzy. Cause the coffee thing is a fairly new addition, like the people. And so we are both like tired. We didn't hadn't had a cup of coffee and they were welcoming us in and everything and talking to us. And the building was pretty large. So we were like, do you guys have any coffee? They're like, can we get you anything? And so we just assumed they had a coffee bar. And they were like, oh, no. And they were like apologizing. They're like, we'll get you some coffee from the nursing mother's room, like taking coffee from nursing mothers. We were like, heck no. But it was like, they were like doting. And it was just like, no, we are not like, I don't know.
Starbucks.
Yeah, exactly. Oh man, it was so cringy.
I will take an oat milk latte, please. But don't trouble yourself too much.
Yeah. So my church, I go to Upper Room and they have a coffee shop in there. And they got me hooked on oat milk and like coffee. It's good. You have to have the right kind of oat milk. So I have to experiment with different kinds.
Yeah.
But anyways, I just feel like such a diva. I'll be like, coffee with oat milk, please. Like room for oat milk. I'm like, oh my gosh. This is the epitome of being trendy.
Who is she?
Wow.
I'm just like, I want a 5 shots of espresso. And then if you have any extra espresso, you can also add that to my coffee. Thanks very much. I remember I gave my friend one time, I ordered her coffee as a surprise and I gave her a quad shot. And like later on that day, she was like, I don't know what you gave me. She's like, I got everything done. She goes, I did so much housework. She's like, I was buzzing. She's like, what was it? And I told her, and she was like, it actually didn't go over too well. She wasn't too thrilled. I was like, I'm so sorry. Overthinker's worst nightmare. I was like, she probably thinks I was trying to kill her. She probably thinks that I don't think she has enough energy. She probably thinks that I'm the worst human being. She probably thinks I'm a drug addict because who drinks that much caffeine except drug addicts? I mean, it was like my brain was having a heyday. Talk about inner critic.
She must have given me a hard time. But
okay, how about this? The overthinking, like how does overthinking affect church attendance, church culture, church life? Like how do you think that even in our society, or even just because I think for the most part we're a group of active thinkers, any thoughts on that?
Absolutely. I've definitely had some people say they don't have anything to wear to church.
Yep.
And so they won't go.
What do you think that means?
I think it's just what they're hiding behind.
Yeah.
The real reason why they don't want to go to church.
It's a preconceived idea that you have to dress a certain way, maybe conservatively or dress up a little bit. And that's just not true anymore.
It's so true. Business casual for church is very embarrassing.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. We're all like, yeah.
I mean, Hawaii, like, it's different here because here it's like,
yeah, well, you guys wear coconut bras and Lays to church, I'm sure.
Lays, yes. Not probably yeah. not coconut bras, but definitely you will see some Lays for sure.
I just show shirt. Up in my tube top.
Yeah. I mean,
you know what? I think too, people fear commitment, and if they start going to church and suddenly people notice them there, then they start to feel guilt if they can't go some Sunday or choose mm-hmm. to do something different. Mm-hmm. I know when I was living in Kansas City, I was teaching at a Christian school, right? And we rented space in another church building. And so one Sunday I realized that I needed something out of my classroom and I didn't have a key to the building. So I thought, oh, I know, I'll just show up on a Sunday morning when the church is open for their service and I'll just walk in and go to my classroom and get my stuff. Well, they greeted me so nicely. They were so friendly that I thought, well, I'll just go visit the next Sunday. So I visited. And they were so kind to me, and they invited me to come back and go to the adult women's Sunday school class, right? So the next Sunday, I got up and I went there to church and I went to Sunday school, never thinking that you cannot back out of Sunday school once you're in. It's like, you know, because everybody's going to expect you to be there the next week. They've got a curriculum. They're following it's a class, you know. You don't go in the class. So I kept going. And in 4 weeks, I was the teacher.
No, you're not lying.
Mom,
you really got roped into that.
If you have like within the lines of, let me just explain because this could sound bad, but like if you're a sane non, you're not on the whatever that list is. What's the list called what's that horrible list? Sex offender. Like all the things, like if you check off all the things and you're good and you're a good human. Yeah. You can get it in the nursery. You know what? Maybe just cut that out because I don't want it to sound bad. Yeah, I just mean like churches are always like, do you want to volunteer for the kids' church?
Well, the kids' church and just in general, like I've been Peter and I have been roped in fast. We like show up at a church, like you do this, you do that. It's like, welcome aboard. And we're like,
literally.
To like, should I take a membership course?
Wait a minute. Okay. To circle back to the overthinking thing, because I think there's a lot more there. Leah, go ahead and weigh in on this because I know that you have something to add. Just this whole idea of like, of overthinking things, like I could go into worship. Don't even get me started on worship, like hands up and hands down. One time I had my eyes closed and I accidentally turned around. That's about as bad as it gets. There isn't a worse nightmare.
You mean like while you were worshiping?
I guess I was swaying so much. I just turned around. It was facing behind me, like people behind me.
That's happened to me while I've been leading worship before.
That's not good for, especially for us.
So wait, Katie, what do you want me to weigh in on?
Well, I just mean like, just the whole idea. I mean, it's a broad topic. I know we keep saying that. That's like the hot button word is broad topic or hot button words. But like, in terms of like overthinking things and that whole thing, like, do I shake their hand? Do I not shake their hand? Do I volunteer for this? Do I not? Do I lead worship? Do I not lead? Or I'll just,
do I actually just look around different. And smile at my neighbor or smile at the person?
Yeah. Or how about, don't even get me started when they're like, greet your neighbor. I'm like, oh no.
Benjamin and I have not yet reached the point where we are comfortable doing that. So we just,
isn't that funny? I'm like, when they say greet your neighbor, I mean, I'm 34 years old, I think. I still don't want to greet my neighbor and I love my neighbors. I just don't, I'm like,
it's just the action of like doing, being put on the spot. Just feels kind of corny.
Add in because I'm just like, I feel like we're chatting so quickly that I want to make sure.
Before we go on from this topic, though, I want to say when they say greet your neighbor, I always say, my neighbor's not here.
Okay, Uncle Dan.
Yeah, there we go again. Okay, Grandpa. No, I'm just kidding.
Hey.
No, because your dad was like really good with the puns. Oh. Or like made like punnies. Okay, so we're back to, I think I was leaving off with asking Leah about this, and I was throwing out different ideas. Is this even something you have any inspiration on?
I know overthinking is a thing, but it's almost so broad. Like, it's just kind of like, what do I overthink about at church? Like, it's too broad, like, in the sense, like, because I think it goes down to, like, specific situations, like, people that you're talking to. Like, I'm overthinking, like, situations rather than just a broad sense of overthinking. Like,
yeah, I get what you mean. Plus, probably a lot of your 9 to 5 is actually more in the prayer room, which is kind of branches off of the church.
Yeah, I think that there's not like the whole thing with the prayer, it's actually kind of like winding down from overthinking to kind of like clue into like being in that moment with the word, mm-hmm. being in that moment with praying. But like, there's times like where you pray on the mic and you overthink. You're like, oh my gosh, I just really bombed it. And you're like, I prayed, and you're like, you know, it's not a performance. You know, that's what kind of gets you going to do it the next time. Cause you're just like, you know what, this is for you, Lord, anyhow. So it's like, even if I did bomb it, like.
Well, no, I really love that you just identified that that's the whole purpose of going to church, is to not overthink. It's to turn the thoughts down to like really connect in that moment, you know?
Yep. Yeah. I know. I heard someone say, and I still like, this is, some thoughts are deep thoughts. Some thoughts I don't think are meant to be thought about too deeply, but they said, when you go to church, you should view it as God is the main character.
Yeah.
And so it's kind of like, yeah, that is true, that we're not necessarily, even though we do tend to overthink, or we can overthink, it's like, it is true in the same sense that it does get your mind off of your little world and bubble and that sort of thing.
Yeah. Yeah.
Like when you're singing, you know, you're singing to him, like you're thinking of him constantly, yep. You know?
Yeah. And singing, I would say like worship is one of the easier way, like
absolutely
the easiest ways to get to that place. Cause like when I'm worship leading, I mean, I can't speak for other worship leaders, but like, when I'm like singing up there, like I'm very rarely like overthinking. There's not even time to overthink. Mm-hmm. The only time I might overthink is if I like feel like a specific direction and I'm like, oh, that's a leap from where we were planning to go. And that might be like, I might be hesitate, but for the most part, like, I don't know. I it's just like, but there is overthinking. I just think it's more in social dynamics. Like the overthinking comes, I think, where fear of man is.
Yeah.
That's just kind of been my experience. Like,
yeah, that's a really good point. Overthinking comes where fear of man is.
All right. When I was a pastor, I found it was really interesting to me that I had a responsibility to facilitate a worship experience for everyone.
Hmm.
And
you know, this isn't common for the pastor to facilitate a worship experience for the congregation. Let's just clarify. Typically, the pastor isn't also doubling as the worship leader.
Right. Well, that's what I was about to explain, is that I was in this church. It was small enough so that I, as a pastor, did everything except for I didn't play the keyboard, you know, but I was the one that did all the announcements. I did all of the scripture readings because we followed a pretty strict order of worship. But, and then, okay, all right. So let me just skip over that. And I'll tell you a couple really funny.
Did you also take the offering?
Yes.
You were the usher.
No,
stop, guys. I just imagine. Okay. Wait, time out. I just imagine mom running around the church and changing her hats. And changing- Yes. Okay. Wait. I have to. This is a necessary bunny trail. One time, I picked up Leah from an airport in Augusta, and it was the which was it Augusta or was it?
I think so.
And it was the tiniest airport I've ever seen in my life, up until the airport I went to in Hawaii. And the person that ran the front desk, the plane lands, and like literally, there's no one there, and she runs outside, puts on a safety vest, pulls out those things to like signal the plane down, and she starts waving the plane down, and then she runs back inside and starts doing the luggage through the little tiny thing. And I just remember being like, I would never not ever go on this through this airport company or whatever. It's just
oh my gosh, I remember that. But mom, it's also like, before you tell your stories, it's also like being like having a high school yearbook, but like you're like the class clown, you're the prom queen, you're the football captain, you're like most likely to succeed, like you're
oh gosh. Okay. All right. Now I'm gonna
most likely to marry George Clooney.
We have to have some on-topic comedy. So as when I was pastoring the church, the funniest thing happened. We had taken the offering, and at the end of the offering, we always sang the song "Glory Be to the Father and to the Son." And anyway, Aunt Becky, my sister, she was supposed to start playing. So the guy comes forward with the offering plate, and he sets it down. And I'm waiting for her to start playing the intro to that song. And I'm waiting. And finally, I looked over at her, and she realized, and she jumped a mile. She jumped, and I could not stop laughing. And I'm the pastor. And I was supposed to lead them in the Lord's Prayer, right? Oh, after they sang the song. And my voice kept cracking because I was trying to laugh. And finally, at the end of the Lord's Prayer, I burst out laughing. And I said, come on, everybody. You know this is funny. And I said, I'm so glad God has a sense of humor. I just have to laugh. And the whole church started dying laughing.
You know, speaking of laughing during church, Seth has spoken at various churches quite a few times. And one of the things that he used to do that made me laugh, I'm not laughing now, I don't know why, I'm like, oh, this is a bad execution of this story. But Seth used to put tons of stuff in his front pockets. So his pants would just be full of like randomly, he'd have the car keys, his phone, his wallet, all in his front pocket. So you just see like these lumps all the way up his pants. And I remember just being like, you gotta stop this. This needs to stop. It's just crazy. Your keys are jingling and dangling, and he likes to walk around anyway.
And he and Lux have that in common, because you can't bring her to the park without her loading her pockets full of rocks.
Oh, that's
funny. Oh yeah.
Can I tell you another funny thing that happened in church?
Please.
This again was when I was pastoring. I was preaching, and there was a man in the second row who had Alzheimer's. Aww. And that this Sunday, I wore some bright red shoes, and right in the middle of my sermon, he just hollers out, "I like your shoes. They're pretty."
It was so cool. Okay, that's this reminds precious. Me. We were doing a prayer set one night, and one of the younger members of our church was leading worship, and he brought his family with him. And this is not like a. It wasn't. It's funny because like you can laugh at it when you kind of start to understand. It's like when you work for a company and you understand how the company's ran. And so then when there's like discrepancies, it can be humorous, but then you realize it's not funny in the sense that someone doesn't realize that that's not how it works. So it wasn't like everyone's like, ha ha, we're laughing at them, but it was just more of an embarrassing thing because
he was leading these songs, and every time he would finish singing, they would be like, "You're doing a great job." We kept cheering him on, and it was like the more he was getting cheered on, the more I know they weren't being patronizing, but I think it was like embarrassing, like thank you, because it was just like, yeah, all right, like anyway, it was just really funny.
I know what you mean. It's like being in like gym class and you're like really terrible, like, you know what I mean,
right?
Like, you're playing a sports game and you're like the worst player there, and they're like, come on, you can do it.
is the sole reason I quit CrossFit, because I would typically be the last at the event. Or like, you can scale down, you can do the least amount, and I'm like, that's fine, but when you're all waiting for me, I'm like, that is my worst nightmare. And they're like, you need to grow, you need to humble yourself, and I'm like, I am humbled, I am lower than the desk. Yeah, like, and then like, not to mention when I get social anxiety, I start to say things that I don't really mean, and so that I was like I said to somebody, they're always like, I gotta finish this. I was running and they were cheering me on, and I was like, I go, I'm running, we're about to run up the hill, and I was like, somebody get me a cheese.
Wait, hold on, Katie, pause. Guys, wait, what's did you already hear what Katie said?
Somebody get me a cheeseburger.
I was trying to stop you before you got it out, so we'd all have to guess what you're about to say. That's okay, I tried.
This is the worst thing. I actually hate cheeseburgers. And I was in such crippling social anxiety, and I was about to go into like cardiac arrest. But I was like,
someone give me a picture.
And so after the workout, everyone was like, go get that cheeseburger.
Yeah, you get
these. I was like, I don't want to be the. It's like when Ryan from The Office is like, I don't want to be that guy. I was gonna say
if you stuck around,
the fire guy,
cheeseburger.
Yeah, you always gonna be cheeseburger girl. And like, how do you explain? It's like, no one's gonna believe that I don't like cheeseburgers. And then the further I go into trying to prove that I hate cheeseburgers, it just looks even more suspicious.
Someone get me a cheeseburger.
Yeah, but it was like me out of breath. My face is beet red. I'm sweating. It's Hawaii.
I don't know why anyone would ever do CrossFit, honestly. Like Sarah, she did it too. And I remember it just
okay.
Verbal.
Doing because Leslie, I think you've done independent weightlifting, so it's different. But when you're new to weightlifting and you do like deadlifts and things like that, you do feel there is a really amazing sense of empowerment. And if you like to be challenged in a community setting, and that's not something that and you want to grow, then yeah. But if you for like
mom, you did like a circuit workout thing, didn't you? Mom, what was it called?
Curves. I did circuit training. And
what do you think of curves?
I really liked the concept, because it was like in and out 30 minutes, you know, and it was well-rounded and everything. But what I could not stand is I was doing this for exercise, but also to relieve stress, right? And the woman that ran this curves would come and jog in front of you and get in your face and get, come on, you can do it. And I wanted to deck her all the time. I just wanted to punch her lights out. And I'm like, just get out of my face and let me.
Oh my gosh.
I know. But that is how I felt. But
did I ever tell you guys about the time that I went to a class at Gold's Gym? And it was called boot camp. And I didn't really know like much about it. It was like one of the first fitness classes I ever went to. And so anyways, it starts off running around in circles in this gymnasium.
Oh.
I don't like to run. I did not sign up for a running class.
Heck
no. That's not what I signed up. So I was like in there and we're running. And I was like, was this ever going to end? Like, are we going to start doing something else? And we're just running. And finally, I pretended that I got a phone call. So I went over and I was like, hello. Oh yeah, I'm coming right now. And I'm like packing my stuff up. And as I'm leaving, she goes, she couldn't handle the heat.
Like, oh my gosh,
on the microphone, like over the whole class. And I was like, I'm never doing that again. I'm never going.
Oh my gosh, that's bullying.
I went to a running class once. It was in a Pentecostal church. We ran outside.
What?
No, it wasn't really a running class.
I was gonna say, I'm like, a running class.
Well, I'm just trying to tie our fitness into church.
Oh,
but, no, but think about charismatic Pentecostal churches that are kind of wild in their services. What? They worship, yeah. and they like to jump or raise their hands or shout or run or do other things. But we won't talk about the other things.
What?
But
yeah, that sounds bad. Well, and there's so much. People have such
wild imaginations.
Yeah,
they didn't get wild. But anyway, I remember being in the service.
She's like, nah, just.
And wait. They were all so excited, and somebody began singing, "Roll out the barrel, we'll have a barrel
of fun." Yep.
And everybody started singing it. Next thing you know, people are running out the door, running around,
rolling each other around.
No, they weren't rolling, but they were running.
Oh my gosh.
And they were having so much fun.
So this is interesting about like, because mom, you grew up in the church. So I think the more you're familiar with something, the more willing you are to experiment and to be to trust the environment that you're in to branch out more. Because I realize not all of our audience are church goers. And something that, you know, just leave you with as a thought is church is not as intimidating as it may seem. And it can actually be a really, I don't want to say fun. Like, I know that that's not the actual intent of the church, but that it's way less intimidating than you think. And there's a lot lower, the expectations and how to act and how to dress is just not, the standard isn't like this really unattainable high standard. And it's really not, I always think about when I was new to getting back into church, is during worship, it always felt like, what do you do? Like, everyone's probably watching me. Do I sit down? Do I stand up? Do I put my hands up? Do I put them down? I don't have a Bible. I don't have a Bible with me, or my Bible's on my phone, or I'm not even familiar with what to do. Like, there's so much, it's not, people aren't watching you as much as you think they are. And if they are, it's not typically because we're judging. It's just wanting to know. Sometimes, you know, when you're, a lot of churches have what you would call a hospitality team, where they want new people to feel welcome, and they may be gauging, is this a new person, and has anyone greeted them yet? Do they want to be greeted? Do they want to be left alone to just kind of take it all in and experience it? So sometimes that happens, that really it's a more chill environment than you would think. And it's actually such, you know, if you haven't tried church, like I would say go to church. Like, yeah. There's really nothing you can
lose, you know.
yeah
I think in a way going to church now as opposed to when I was growing up is more like a restaurant.
Yeah.
And that is, you walk in, you get greeted, you choose where you want to sit, or mm-hmm. that somebody might direct you to a place, you know, depending on what your needs are. And now it used to be that they would pass like an offering plate or basket or something, and it would be really awkward if you didn't have something to put in it. But now it's a code, you know, a scan code that you can choose whether or not to do it. You can give online. You don't have to give. No one knows if you're giving or not. No one's in your face asking you to give. It's just available to you should you want to. And I like that aspect. And there's not really somebody coming to you and trying to talk you into doing things like volunteerism, you get like a connect card or something, and you get to check off what interests you. And if you check it off, you're saying it's okay to contact me regarding this, you know? And so it's more like you get to choose. And as far as people watching you, it can feel awkward because it's a new environment, but I don't go to a restaurant and walk in and say, gosh, is anybody noticing where I'm sitting? Like, I want to order the steak, but those people over there are eating salad. Are they going to think I'm weird because I'm buying steak? No, you just do your own thing. You eat what you're comfortable with. You do what you want to do in that environment. And it's not cookie cutter. And if you don't like that restaurant, you say, hey, this is not for me. I don't want to go back. Or maybe you'll go back and try something different on the menu. Mm-hmm. And like if a church has different types of services, some have ones that are more traditional, conservative, and then they have a more contemporary service at a different time. And you get to choose what you want to do or the time you want to go that best fits your family.
Yeah.
Or your needs. So I think it's a whole lot different than it used to be. And I think a lot of denominations and churches are becoming more accommodating to people and even meeting on different days, not always a Sunday or a Saturday.
So moral of the story is try church on, try it out. If you don't like one, try another. Like mom's saying, figure out if there's a different type of service at that same church, if you're kind of feeling it. But for the most part, I think that you will be pleasantly surprised when you find the one that fits, because it just gives you an overwhelming sense of I'm home, and it really fills a void that you didn't even really know was there. Like the first few times I went to church, it was so apparent. I just couldn't stop but crying. Couldn't stop crying because I felt really like this is home, you know? So we encourage you guys to try out church, and we want to support you. So if you guys have any questions, want to reach out, feel free to message us on Instagram. We'd love to connect.
I also just want to add one other thing. Just in terms of like trying churches on in your process, if you're considering church, or even maybe you're a seasoned Christian, you've been a Christian for a while, but maybe you're in a transition, just pray that God would show you like where, what church body to kind of connect with. Like, cause I mean, the church is beautiful. Like there's so many amazing, like churches out there. And just praying that God would show you, even if you're not even sure, you know, how to hear his voice. I've just heard so many testimonies of people where the Lord just met them and spoke to them and led them to the right community for, you know, that season or that time. So,
yeah, I think my heart would be that anybody listening to the podcast, what I would want for you is that you have a revelation of who Jesus is and his love, because that's what draws us. It's not the form of religion or the practice of going to church. That's something we do out of response and an awareness that God loves us, and you know, and Jesus is God, but you know, Jesus is the Son of God, and he loves us.
Thank you guys for tuning in to Made of Miller. Mom, thank you for joining us. It was such a pleasure to have you here talking about church life, church normatives. We hope that you enjoyed this episode and that you learned something new. And if you'd like to reach out to Pastor Sharon of Ashland Community Church, please let us know. No, but seriously, guys, we hope you have a great week, and thanks for tuning in. Bye.